This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Wiley had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! Hey boy, we're rolling here at the lineup!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson. I don't say it all that often on here, but Mr. Steve Sell.
Well, I don't know where you get that from, but you always
took a poll.
You took a poll? Unofficial poll?
They voted in the last election.
Is that right?
Who is the most popular man?
Okay.
You, Mayor Tom Brown, Tom Stapleton of the radio station.
There you go.
So you beat out those two.
Okay.
So that's pretty good.
Okay, that's pretty select company.
Well, Steve, we're going to have to put off you calling the Hogs for one more day.
I think we're going to do it permanently. after the finish of that game last night, I don't know how Arkansas can win today.
If Arkansas wins the national championship, then Steve has to call the Hogs on air, and it is going to be tough at this point. But a man who might be calling the Hogs here pretty shortly is joining us in studio today. Now, he's not going to be playing for the Arkansas Razorbacks, but he's going to be in the heart of Arkansas Razorback country. Former Bullpup Jace Alexander in with us today. Are you going to get a hog hat whenever you get down there?
I don't know about that.
We can hook you up with one, but you'll be calling the Hogs here pretty soon, I think. You're going to be playing with guys that are probably huge Arkansas fans that they'll be lined up next to you, and they'll all be watching the games on Saturday nights whenever yours are over, so I think you'll be able to figure it out here pretty soon. You know how to call the Hogs?
No.
You've got a lot to learn. You'll figure it out.
He's tried to teach me, and I just haven't picked up on it.
We're going to show Steve how to do it later on this week. Well, Jace, we're glad to get you in here. We had Drew on the show on Tuesday to talk a little bit about the football season, talk a little bit about the basketball season, because this was a pretty good senior group of guys and a pretty good senior season for everybody, and it's sort of fun to get to hear your guys' perspective of it. Everybody gets to hear what Steve and I have to say all the time, but we're glad to get you in here. First off, I want to ask you if you're a Peyton Manning fan.
I am.
So there was a picture that went around. I don't know if Steve saw it. I think it was Mac College Basketball tweeted it out, and they said, congrats to one of our alums that also wins the Peyton Manning lookalike contest, and it was Jace's dad.
Really?
Yeah. They've got a shot of him from like 2000, and it's the forehead.
Yep.
It looks just like him. Are you hoping that you can look like Peyton Manning one day?
Yeah, I mean, I always get, when we're in the college there, my dad's poster's hanging up, and there's people walking the hallways and see, man, that guy looks like Peyton Manning. Is that Peyton Manning? I know Peyton Manning went here.
I had never thought about it until I saw it. But that's pretty funny. Well, what have you been up to this summer in terms of working out and getting ready to make the move down to Henderson State?
I've been working out with my dad and a few guys at the Y every day at noon, and they're kicking my butt pretty well.
Well, we know that you'll be making your way down here pretty soon. It'll be July 9th whenever you will move down to Arkadelphia full-time. What was the process like for you in terms of the recruiting? And that's one thing that I always find to be really interesting. One of the hard things for football, though, is that you were playing basketball while this recruiting process was going on. So talk a little bit about what happened with you and what visits you were going on and how you were balancing that with the basketball schedule.
Yeah, I had to go. I went down to Hayes like 3 weeks out of that season, so I had to miss a Saturday practice here and there and just talk to coach about that. he never had any problem with it. And then Henderson State coach actually reached out to me on Twitter during the season. I think it was actually on our way to a basketball game. And so I was talking to him a little bit, and it's a little difficult to kind of focus on that and focus on the game at the same time, but it all worked out.
And for people that are around here that don't know a lot about Henderson State, it's in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. It's a D2, very similar size school to Fort Hays State. But what was it about Henderson that drew you to want to go there?
Just really their winning mentality. They're the most winningest program in Arkansas, college levels. And just the coaching staff, all the players that I met, everyone just had super winning attitudes, and I liked that.
It's a cool school, and it's a lot like the MIAA that people are very passionate about it, where you look at Fort Hays, you look at Emporia, you get onto the Missouri side, you see Central Missouri. People are very passionate about those schools, and I think that's one really cool thing about the Division II level is that sometimes at the NAIA, it just depends on the town. It depends on the place, whether there's the following behind the school. But at these places, it's really cool. And another thing that people probably don't know about Arkadelphia, there's two schools there. And so it's a town divided. The schools are divided by literally the highway. They're across from each other.
What's the other school?
Ouachita Baptist.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Ouachita.
Yeah, there you go. So I think it will be really cool for you to be a part of communities like that. And I think it'll be a place that you'll be excited to be in. Also, it's a little bit far away from home, but luckily you get somebody that you've grown up with to be able to go down there with you, and Gunnar Reese. Did you guys talk a lot during this process too and decide to go together, or was this sort of a separate thing?
Yeah, I mean, we talked throughout it, and we always said it'd be cool to go to the same school. And then when I talked to him and he said the same school talked to him, we were planning on going on a visit together. And then we just both decided when we went there, that was the place for us.
What's the plan for the first year? Do you redshirt? I know a lot of these schools redshirt their freshman class. Or do you maybe get on the field right away, either starting or special teams or things like that? Or what's the plan down there?
I would assume we're going to redshirt, but I haven't heard for sure.
And you'll learn a little bit more once you get down there and start to practice. Well, Jace, we want to talk a little bit about both the football and basketball seasons, because both of them were terrific years and a lot of fun, but it sort of seems far away this last football season. It seems like forever ago. And one of the main storylines and things that Steve and I were talking about a lot early on was that your defense was going to be so solid. There were so many returners, so many veterans, so many seniors, and a lot of that started in the linebacking core with you and Colin, that you two had such a good feel for that defense and what the schemes were and what your plan was defensively. At what point in your career did you sort of figure out that you've got the linebacker position locked down and that you had a really good feel for the game itself?
Late in my sophomore year, when I'd been starting because of injuries, I started to get a good feel of the game, and I felt like I could make plays for the team. And so by the end of that year, I was pretty confident in my own ability.
And it was a pretty stellar defensive year in terms of statistics. You guys were allowing less than 9 points per game, less than 100 yards per game for the most part of the year, less than 40 on the ground. But the one stat that I thought was really cool all year, and I know you guys took a lot of pride in it, was the no touchdowns allowed by the first team defense. Gave one up in the second quarter against Mays South, then went all the way into the postseason in week 10. So that was 8 weeks of not allowing a touchdown. That was a pretty unbelievable role that you guys were on, where nobody could move the ball at all. That was about as impressive of a defense as I've seen in a long time.
Well, the thing I liked is against the run, you know, you guys weren't very big on defense, but you ran so well, you were so fast, and you were just so cohesive. It just seemed like I don't hardly remember a long running play. Now, there were a few big pass plays, but I hardly remember a long running play. It's almost like you guys were insulted if somebody made a big play on you. And it's like you got in the huddle and said, no more of that, no more of that. But it was, you know, I said it with Drew. You know, I'd covered football for high school football here for 39 years. I'd never seen a defense even close to as good as this one was, because it wasn't just up front. It wasn't at linebacker. It wasn't just the secondary. All three areas just excelled. And again, I think the experience factor – you know, six or seven of you guys started. This was your third year as a starter. There was very little coaching, I think, that was done last fall because you all knew what the schemes were. And Coach Harlan just had said, hey, we'll just, refresh a little bit. And you probably put a few wrinkles in, but that experience factor was just so key.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Harlan actually texted me after me and Colin after the camp, Fort Hayes camp, and said it was weird actually having to coach. Said he's a little rusty, but.
So one of my favorite moments from your senior season was a play that I know you wish you would have had maybe like a little bit more gas left in you. So it was the interception against Circle. You guys have somehow let the T-Birds drive down the field, and you get an interception on a third down and goal, I think. And you intercept it at about the 5, maybe the 10. A little spin move, and you start running up the far sideline. You get to about the 30, and you're starting to say, okay, slowing down a little bit. Don't let that running back catch him. And I think you kept pushing and pushing to about the 20. Steve made a comment on the air, I remember, saying, you know, Jace, whenever he was young, he was playing running back, so he's got the speed. What were you thinking whenever you caught that ball and started running the other way with the whole field in front of you?
I just tried running as hard as I could. I didn't want to get caught. I never got a pick six because my junior year, I returned it and stepped out at the 1. So ooh. I wanted to get in that end zone, but I ran out of gas a little bit.
Well, I still look back to me. You were in on one of the biggest plays of the year. And I really felt like, you know, for even though it was the first game of the season, it was a game changer as far as your season. You're up, I think, 19-0 at the half on Bueller.
Yep.
They score a couple quick touchdowns, took advantage of some turnovers early in the second half. Bueller gets the ball fourth and about maybe 3/4 of a yard. And you guys stuff him on the 1. Then, of course, a couple plays later, the big pass to Chandler Wired, if I remember right. But that goal line stand, that really, to me, was the play that started your season in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we had to pick up our offense a little bit. Everything was slowing down. They got the momentum. And we just told each other, we're not letting them get in this end zone. I don't care what happens. We had one play, but we stopped them.
And part of the thing I wanted to pick up with Steve there is that not only was that a tone-setting play for the season, but I thought it was a tone-setting play against Bueller. Because then, obviously, you guys would go on to play them again in the playoffs, and you get into a couple of fourth down and inches, fourth down and shorts, and you guys made the big stops and the big plays against them. People will remember the Jade play for a long time, but that was a defensive slugfest of a game. It was 7-7 almost the whole game. You guys would get turnovers and then couldn't score. They would get a turnover. You'd get a defensive stop. That game was pretty unbelievable, wasn't it?
Oh, it was awesome. It was a roller coaster ride the whole way, and it was full of emotion. Nobody wanted to go home, and it was a slugfest.
And the thing is, Bueller was just like you guys, at least. Even more, they were senior-dominated. I don't know if they even hardly had a junior on the field. It's guys you grew up playing against. And the thing is, I think you knew each other so well. You knew the personnel so well. It came down to execution and who was going to execute, because they had great personnel. You had great personnel. But, again, it took more than regulation to decide it. And what was going through your mind after they'd scored first, and what was going through your mind then?
Are you talking in
Bueller? I'm talking the playoff game.
In overtime or?
Yeah, in overtime.
Okay, yeah. Well, it was, I mean, we were all a little nervous, I guess. Not really nervous, but we knew we couldn't allow another touchdown or it was over. And it was hard letting all of our faith go in the offense. It's hard staying on the sideline watching, and you can't have any control over it. But we trusted our guys, trusted our coaches, and
Were you one of the ones leading the charge? Say, let's go win it right now. Let's go for two.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many guys on the team. I'm sure Drew Labertu's probably saying, I'm glad I didn't have to kick that and tie the game, because Drew, he'd been a really reliable kicker last year. Had a couple misadventures this year, but really did a great job. But anyway, when they said it was going to be the Jade play, what was running through your mind on the sidelines?
I was excited for that because I knew no one had ever seen that before, and we ran against it. Our defense ran against it, and it's hard to stop. Especially, even if you know it's coming, it's hard to stop. And they had no clue what hit them.
It was a pretty good celebration and a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and you know, you guys and Bueller weren't the best of friends, I wouldn't say. So I'm sure it felt pretty good to win that one. The other game that stands out to me a lot from that playoff run, a lot of people will look back at the first half of that Andale game and go, oh, they gave up three touchdowns and that changed the game. But the thing that I liked a lot is that the defense gave you guys every single chance in the second half, because Andale, if I remember right, had about five possessions and they were forced to punt or go for it on fourth down in all of them. And it just, you knew that the defense was going to keep giving you a chance. The offense just couldn't get into the end zone in the final quarter. But what a terrific senior season that you guys had. And you would go on to be named to the All-State teams, and Wyatt Seidel would be selected to go to the Shrine Bowl. What are you going to remember the most about your senior season?
Just all the guys, all the continuity. I mean, we played with each other or against each other since we were in fourth grade, and it was just cool to be with everyone, and it was a lot of fun.
Make one last run. Well, we have Jace Alexander in studio today, and our next segment after we take this break, we want to talk a little bit about the basketball season and the fun run all the way to the state championship game against Bishop Miege. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Or for those of you listening at midkansasonline.com, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and joined in studio today by former Bullpup Jace Alexander and future Henderson State Ready. Steve, have you figured out what a Ready is yet?
I have not.
Well, I think Jace could probably school you on it. That's probably the first thing they'll do when they get down to Arkadelphia. They say, hey, here's what a Ready is for all the people that are going to ask about it. Do you know yet?
I have a little bit of an idea.
So. Well, we won't quiz you on it yet. This time next year, we'll get the full report. Well,
sounds good.
Jace, we talked a little bit about the football season, but we want to talk about the basketball season, too, because you guys had one heck of a run throughout the entire season. One team you lost to. You lost to them twice. But you look back at this season as a whole, and we talked about it with Drew the other day a little bit, that it seemed like all year you guys knew what the goal was and you knew what you were supposed to do. It was get back to the state championship game or bust, and that's a hard mindset when you know what the expectation is. But I thought that you guys as a senior group, the five of you, and then you include Jake into the mix for starting throughout the year, you did a really good job of never trying to do more than what you could do as a team. It's not like you were going out and trying to change what you're doing against teams. You had to fight off a couple of injuries where Jake rolled his ankle a few times and missed a couple of games, but you guys knew the goal and you made it to that goal. You knew what the expectation was and you did it. And I think a lot of that came back to what we were saying with football, a lot of experience, a lot of playing together. And I don't know about you, but it felt like this was the perfect mesh of guys that you guys really mixed well together.
Yeah, we all know our roles and we support each other well, know who to pass to at certain times, and we all have each other's back on defense. It's fun to play with them.
And one thing that I talked about with Coach Kinneman several times is that you were sometimes in a tough spot with this mix because, well, let's face it, there were a lot of games that were blowouts. And so you didn't start, but you were the sixth man off the bench. And so there were games where you didn't get the same minutes as everybody else did because you didn't get to start, and then the game would be over by halftime.
And running clock.
And so then you didn't get to play much in the fourth quarter. So you played a role that sometimes you got the unfair part of it. But I thought that you embraced that role really well, and that there are not a lot of guys that were the sixth man on teams that had as big of minutes as you had and made as big of shots that you did throughout the year. I mean, you look back to the Ark City game in the state semifinals, and making that three right before you started the fourth quarter, that was a huge moment in that game. And so I think it showed a lot about you that you had a lot of mental toughness and you knew exactly what you were supposed to do as well. Did you like that role? I mean, sometimes I'm sure it was a little unfair that you didn't get to play 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever the coach wanted me to do, I was going to do. When I was on the floor, I just gave it all I had and gave 100% every time.
It seemed to me, you know, when Jason make a three, it was always in a big moment. It was always, you know, it was a moment that, you know, where we really needed someone to step up and make a big shot. You know, maybe Ben would be getting covered, Mason be getting covered. But then Jason come off the bench. I think he had, didn't you have three in one game? Three threes maybe in one game?
I was thinking four.
Well, you might have. But one thing, you love the corner. It seemed like that is your shot. You know, other guys, they like the top of the key or the wing. You love that corner shot, it seemed like.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's uncanny. When I'm in that spot, it just goes right in.
I was telling you about my friend, Coach Bouchard, who was at Winfield, and every time you played Winfield, I would bring up the stat that your career high every year and season high every year was 13 against Winfield. And he'd call you the Winfield killer. And he would say, man, if only we had Jace on our squad, this could have been a big-time team. That's the thing that I thought was cool about your role is that you had the ability to go off for big games. And I think you scored 13 against Winfield four times. So that's a really cool thing that I think you're going to look back on this season and just throughout your basketball career in general and go, look, I had some big games where there are some other sixth men on teams that didn't get to have those types of big games.
And the other thing about Jace, too, is he embraced playing defense. He liked to get physical, maybe too physical at times. But one thing about Jace, what you're going to get, you always knew you were going to get effort. He knew he was going to maybe be in 3 minutes, 4 minutes at the most. But he always gave just tremendous effort, got up in people's faces, and provided that toughness.
Enforcer.
I thought you were kind of like the enforcer, the tough guy out there. But, you know, every team's got to have a guy like that, and that's another role that you embraced.
Yeah, I took it as kind of a slight if someone scored on me, whether it's football or basketball. I don't like it.
One of my favorite things, and Steve and I always liked it a lot, is when you'd get called for a touch foul, and you'd sort of give that ref a look. You know, Coach Kinnaman, we call it the Kinnaman stare.
Did you really ever commit a foul in high school?
Maybe one.
Okay.
Yeah, well, only one of them you deserve. And we always enjoyed that you were just so intense and that you didn't want to get a foul called on you. And you weren't going to accept it either. You'd give them a look and go, really? You're going to call that on me? And that goes part of the enforcer mentality. And there might have been a few guys that tried to take the ball to the hole on you. You might have not let him score. You're not going to let anybody dunk on you.
No, never.
Dalton Smyers, maybe, you know.
Never.
Well, speaking of that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the final game that you got to play inside the Roundhouse. And we talked about it with Drew a little bit, that I think there was a little bit of nervous tension taking on that Buehler team again. And everybody says, well, it's hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. And there was a lot of pressure on that game, too. We talked about the pressure of playing for McPherson High basketball. That's the essential game right there. There's a lot of pressure in a game like that.
And what did Coach Kinnaman say before the game? Did he say anything special before the game? He's saying, you know, you've never lost to these guys since you've been in high school. You're at home. You got the fans on your side. Did he do anything to kind of relax you a little bit?
I mean, he just – obviously we'd beat them however many times in the last years, and it seemed like every game they played at the best they could possibly play, and we played – not very great, but we always came out with a win. He just said to relax and play our game.
It seemed like the perfect way to end your career in the Roundhouse is beating Buehler one final time. And one of my favorite parts of that game is that it felt a lot closer than it was, where it was a 20-point game the whole game.
Oh, yeah, people were still nervous.
And you get down to the end. I think Ben had an alley-oop dunk in the final minute or so. And then you guys got to have a timeout. And all of the seniors got to walk off together. Well, Drew had fouled out earlier, but Jake got to walk off with you guys. Is that a moment that you'll never forget?
Oh, it was awesome. It was really emotional. All the fans have been great throughout the years, and it's fun leaving the court with my guys.
And then a state tournament run. It felt like you guys weren't playing your best throughout the state tournament, but that you just found a way to get it done, and that's what good teams do. You beat Spring Hill. They sort of hung around for a little bit. Arc City gave you guys a really good game.
Yeah, they did.
And then the first half against Bishop Miege, you put it to them, and you felt good. And then in the second half, it just didn't work. And Jeremiah Robinson Earl, one of the best players in the country, as well as Spencer Jones.
Spencer Jones, I mean, found a way
to will that team to come back and win. I know that it will be a bummer of a way to look back on the end of your high school career, but it's not very many people get to play on that stage and say that you got to be on that stage and be a part of a team that could make that run. I know that you'd love one more shot at Bishop Miege if you could, but what a fun way, well, not fun, but what a memorable way to end your high school career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, we'd like another shot at them. They beat them. They beat us 3 years in a row, but it is what it is. We gave it all we had, and I'm proud of everyone.
Let's take our final break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up your career a little bit, look ahead to what's coming up next for you, and talk about these upcoming teams and what you think they could do. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, for those people that want to go back, they missed the show live, they're missing part of this great interview with Jace Alexander, they got to go back and listen to it on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. There you go. It's money. You got a SoundCloud account?
No, I don't.
See, that was a big thing, like when I was in high school, everybody had them and you could go listen to music on there.
I don't even do Twitter, so.
You got Facebook.
I got Facebook.
He's got texting, too.
I can text.
Do you have internet on your phone?
I don't have any idea.
Can you check email?
I have no idea.
Then probably not. Well, Jace, we've been talking a lot about the football season, the basketball season. You also got to do something that I think is pretty cool. Not a lot of other people get to say they do. They got to play, or you got to play your whole high school basketball career with your cousins and people that you've grown up around. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, we know the Alexanders, there's a billion of you, and that there's going to be more of the cousins playing together here in the future, but I think that's a pretty cool thing that I think you'll look back on in 20 years at Thanksgiving, at the family reunion
yeah.
And you go, man, remember that game where we played Bueller and you did that? Oh! And I think that'll be a memory that is cool for you and also cool for your parents, too. And your dad and his brothers, they all got to do the same thing.
Grandpa Danny. Don't forget Grandpa Danny.
Yeah, it's pretty special, and I think that you'll look back on it later and think, man, that was awesome. What was it like to be able to go out there with your cousins? You guys are almost like brothers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes it really cool.
We'd always been really close with each other, and Mason and I had played with each other all the way up from third, fourth grade when he moved here. Jake, he was a year younger, so he obviously he played a few games with us here and there, but it was cool finally getting us all three together.
Well, looking ahead to these teams coming up this year, what do you think the football team's going to do? I mean, you're the expert from that defense. What are they going to have to do to replicate what happened last year? Or if they can get close to replicating what happened last year?
They're just going to have to take it game by game. There's a lot of inexperience, and they just got to kind of get a feel for each other and how they fit into the roles and really just play within their roles.
And obviously it's going to be a different style of team where this year it's going to be offense first and then defense. But, you know, you saw some of those backups on defense last year understudying you guys when you'd come out of the game. There is some talent on that defense, especially at linebacker. I think Mason Thrash has got a chance to be a really good linebacker.
Yeah, they all have great potential. It's just getting that experience and getting that confidence to play fast, quit thinking, and just play.
In the basketball season, I hope that you'll be able to make it back a few times and watch some games and maybe catch your little brother playing in a couple of games as well. What are you thinking for this basketball team? I mean, they've had a Mr. Basketball player on their team for the last 5-6 years.
Right.
It's going to be different this year, but I think you know that they've got a lot of potential and can still find a way to get it done.
They do. It's going to be a lot different than it has been. All these guys got to step up.
Who's going to be the enforcer?
Probably Jace Kinnaman.
He's
a little like me.
Yeah, we can get the bus to do it. Well, you'll be making your way down to Henderson State July 9th. What do you want to major in? What do you want to do once you get there?
I'm thinking criminal justice is what I want to major in. Eventually be a federal marshal or something up there.
That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be very good at that. Don't give me the gun. Were you on the trap shooting team?
No, I signed up for it. I was going to do it, but I decided to do golf instead.
Just keep that rifle and start shooting clay pigeons. I guarantee you'll be able to find a few trap places in Arkadelphia. I guarantee it. Well, Jace, we enjoyed having you on the show today. It's been a fun last year, and we can't wait to get you back here and be watching a little bullpup football or bullpup basketball this fall or this winter.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Steve. We'll wrap up today's show tomorrow. Bring your hog hat.
Uh-oh.
Get your hands ready. Get your voice ready. You're going to have to call the hogs.
I'll go suey pig.
Jace, you'll be able to teach him, right? just come back in a year from Arkansas, and you'll know how to do it. You'll know how to do everything. Steve, get ready.
All right.
Because the hogs are going to win it tonight.
Okay.
And you're going to have to eat your words.
Okay.
All right, we wrap up today's show. For Jace Alexander, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.